I'm thankful to be here in God's house worshiping with you this morning. The Lord has laid on my heart as we start off the new year of 2024 that we think about a couple of questions that I would pose to you. And perhaps this morning's message may not be one that is a traditional message. But before we look into God's word and meditate upon it and also talk about the questions, let's pause for a moment of prayer. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, that you've afforded unto us another opportunity to come to your house. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray that this morning that you would help us to remove those things that would distract us from hearing your words, listening to what you would have to say to us. But most of all, Heavenly Father, not only that we may listen, but that we may hear and that we may be doers of your word, and that we may apply it to our lives. And Lord, that it would bring you praise, honor, and glory. I ask and pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that as the message would go forth, that those that would hear would not look at the speaker, but the words that the Spirit is inspired to speak to each and every one of us, me first, and to those then that hear. Lord, I ask and pray that you would come and be in our midst, Lord, and that you would just watch over us, that you would protect us, that you would bless us and guide us. Guide our thoughts. Help us to hear you. And help us to see you. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For this morning's meditation, if you will, the Lord's laid on my heart that we would read a few verses from James chapter 4. If you can turn with me to James chapter 4, a few verses, starting with verse 13. James chapter 4, verse 13, a few verses. And perhaps the reading and the message this morning may not be one that is new. Perhaps you've heard it before. Perhaps it's last year, a couple years ago, but as a reminder for all of us as we start off this new year, 2024. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we should live, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I'd like to share with you this morning what the Lord has laid on my heart, and that I've been thinking about it for a while. This morning is not going to be your kind of conventional sermon. It's going to be more of one that I'm going to ask a few questions, a series of questions. And only you can answer those questions. I won't know the answer to them. Some of them may be very deep, but there may be some answers to those questions that would be good to share with each other. Because many a times we share of the tragedies that happen within our life. Hey, how was your day? Oh, you should have seen, oh man, this happened to me and that happened to me, and all about drama, and it's just like, you know, we kind of feed off of that. But how often do we talk to each other and tell each other what the Lord has done for me this past week and in my life? I recently shared with my niece, it was last night, as she has been going through some challenges, and I asked her that, you know, that she would share that, how God has worked in her life. And I think that's important. You know, God told the children of Israel to teach their children to keep in remembrance the things that have happened to them. And it just seems like in today's day and age, we don't talk about the good that God has done for us in our lives. ...2023 is behind us. We've started 2024. So one of the questions I'm going to ask you, what is so memorable to you in 2023? And these are questions that I'm going to, and these other questions that I'm going to ask, but I implore you to think of these questions when you leave here, or even think about them right now. What makes 2023 so memorable for you? Do you feel that you're closer to the Lord, that your walk with the Lord is closer today than it was in last year or the years before that? Where do you feel that you stand before the Lord? Are you close to Him? Do you feel that you've got a closer walk with Him? Do you feel that God's not a million miles away from you, and that when you petition Him or you call Him, that you hear Him and have that faith that He hears you? Then the other question is, we've already lived through 2023. And if you knew that in 2024, at the end of 2024, your life would be over, how would you live your life? What would be different? What would you do different? What would your priorities look like? How would you treat others? Where would you go? What would be in the forefront of your thoughts? We read in James 4:13 through 17, and I'll reread that again. Come now, who you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. And in a little bit, we're going to meditate upon these words that God has penned down for us. We think about the year. And the year is time, 12 months. Time is a finite, there's a beginning and an end. With time, there's some people that are, when they're born, they don't have a whole lot of time, and very shortly God calls them and takes their life. For some, God's given them a lot of time. We know that there are those that are aged. We all know my father, he's almost 93 right now, and he's lived a long life. And we're not quite sure how much more time he has. But it's finite. There's a beginning and there's an end. It's not infinite. When you look at a clock, we start from 12 and it ends at 12. And then again, we start the next minute. And it's a cycle. But there's still a time. There's still a time when it begins and when it ends. So there are three questions that I would like to pose. And these three questions, we're going to meditate a little bit upon them. The first question is, what did you learn from the past year? What did you learn from the past year that better prepared you for the next year? First question. Next question. Looking within yourself, what changes did you make that reveal spiritual growth? And the third question is, in 2024, who is going to be in charge of your life? And that's going to be what we're going to be talking about, is we're going to be talking about me. And what I mean about me, talking about you, talking about us. Looking back, first question. Think of the wisdom that you've gained that some of those months that have taught you, perhaps some of those lessons that you learned. And when you think about those lessons, some of those lessons didn't come very easy. Some of those lessons were very challenging. Some of that wisdom gain took a little bit of time. But what was it within that time that God has revealed to you that you gained the wisdom? They say with every day we get a little bit wiser. Well, at least some people do and some people don't, but for the most part. And perhaps the challenges or the lessons that you were going through, There were questions that you're seeking and you're looking and you want to know that were never answered. And perhaps even to this day, you're still waiting for those questions to be answered. Do we think that we're going to live forever? When we're young, we don't think about dying so much. We don't think that, you know what, hey, my time is coming up. Our minds are not there. We're alive, we're young, we want to do things, we want to go places. There are things that we want to do and accomplish. Psalm 90:12. Moses writes this. Teach us to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Numbering our days means passing for regular consideration of our days in the light of God's ways. Think of our days. Think of the time that we have here. How are we utilizing that time? Psalm 38:4 says, Lord, make me to know my end. And what is the measure of my days that I may know how frail I am? When we consider time, we don't know when our 12 o'clock is up. We don't know when our clock strikes 12. How has the pressure of life last year brought you closer to salvation? Or how has the pressure of life last year brought you closer to your Savior? And hopefully there was something last year that pressured you to be nearer to the heart of God. I don't wish that something tragic would come upon you that would force you to come nearer to the heart of God. But as we ponder on these questions and we reflect in our lives, are we closer to the heart of God today? Are we closer to God today than we were last year. Or perhaps that's one of the things that we want to do this year, is have that ambition of being closer to God. Lessons that stay with us the longest often come in the most painful, times. And perhaps are too personal to share with others. Looking within. So if you stop and you look at your life, and we look at the past and say, okay, Lord, you know, we're in 2024. What changes have you made in 2023 that reveals spiritual growth? What changes in your life has caused you to grow more spiritually? What changes in your life has caused you to draw nearer to the Lord, to be stronger to the Lord, to have your faith increased, to trust in Him more? You know, we've heard many a times that we are our worst enemies. And we get in our own way from getting things done. Apostle Paul writes, God's power works best in my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work in me. Think about me. Think about you. Where has it been in your life where you felt strong and powerful and you really didn't consider God in anything that you've done? And we're going to talk a little bit about that, because this is what we read here in James. The I factor, the me factor, I can do it alone. I don't need anybody else's help. You know, Apostle Paul knew this all too well. And we know the story of Apostle Paul. We know how he wanted to persecute the church, where he thought he was doing God a favor, and he wasn't. And it wasn't until the time where God blinded him, when he was on his way to Damascus, when God put him in a weak position, in a weak state, that he was then able to give up of himself and listen to what God wanted him to do. You see, if we think about Apostle Paul, in his life, he changed from pride to humility. He changed from expectation to contentment. Where have you changed? Where is the change going on in you right now? What changes have taken place that has not been there a few years ago, and that are helping you in your spiritual growth? And we see Apostle Paul, as he's gone through his ministry in Philippians 4, he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound in everywhere in all things. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Very familiar portion of Scripture. Looking within, can we say, like Apostle Paul said, in that whatever state I am, therein to be content? There's a phrase that I read that says, contentment leads to life without complaining. Contentment leads to life without complaining. Do you find yourself complaining? Do you find yourself unhappy in where you're at, in the position that you're at? And I'm not saying that it's not bad to think that, you know what, you want to better yourself or you want to advance. But many a times we find ourselves where we're struggling because we want to advance, but maybe God doesn't want us there. And things are just not happening the way God wants us wants it to happen. You see, Paul reminds us that we cannot move ahead if our thoughts and our visions are focused on the past. Hebrews chapter 5 says, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 4. Apologize for not having that here. In a nutshell, it tells us to consider the time in which we live in, redeeming the time. And he says in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I've counted not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. Apostle Paul wants us, 2023 is already gone. You can't change it. You can't go back and you can't correct what maybe you thought that, oh, I should have done this, or maybe I said that, or there are things that we can't correct in the past. But Apostle Paul is encouraging you, my brother and sister, to press towards the mark. 2024 is on us right now, and he's encouraging us to press and move forward to what is written in the high and heavenly calling, the goal that is set before us. The last question is, who will be the decision, or who will be making the decisions in your life in 2024? Who will be calling the shots? You know, as humans, we love to be in charge. We're accustomed to control the direction of our lives, or at least we like to think that. We don't like to be told what to do. After all, I know what's best and what's best for me. We're raised to be self-reliant, to be self-sufficient. And with that mentality, then it's all about me and what I have done and what I could do. Let's look at this portion of scripture that we read. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. What is Apostle James saying here? Think about it. Today or tomorrow, you select your own schedule. Today or tomorrow, you select your own time. You choose your own path. We will go to such and such a city. You determine your own limits. Spend a year there. You arrange your own activities. We buy and we sell. And then you predict your own results for a profit and make a profit. When you think about this, this is our life. Do we not make our own schedules? Do we not choose our own paths? Do we not determine our own limits? Do we not arrange for our own activities and then predict the results? What's good for me? What's going to profit me? What's best for me? Sounds about right. Does James say that there's anything wrong with this? Does James say that this is wrong? That we shouldn't be doing this? James is not saying that. We know Scripture tells us that we need to occupy till Christ comes. Does he say that these things that we should not be doing these things, that we should not be planning? There's nothing wrong with planning, setting schedules, wanting to make a profit. And there are a number of ways that we do it. Technology now, we start off with day planners where we used to write to keep things, you know, keep our memory, you know, because we forget. Now, wait a minute, I need to do this, this, and this. So we take a day planner and you would write it down. Or now with modern technology, you go on the computer and you got the Excel spreadsheet or you got Google Docs or apps that are tailored for planning. After all, it helps us keep us organized, doesn't it not? Gives us reminders. Reminders of birthdays, family members, anniversaries, scheduled events, meetings, and so forth. James is saying that there's nothing wrong. James is not saying that this is wrong. But what is he saying? What's wrong is that we're doing these things and that we're planning all these things and everything is done in the absence of God. We're planning and we're scheduling in the absence of God, and God is not in the picture of the decision maker making that's going on within our lives. After all, I don't need him. I can handle this. I can take care of that. I can plan this. I know how to do this or that. I've got this. You see, that's the wrong mindset. Again, it's about me. And that's what James is saying. It's not about you. It's not about what you've done or how you've done or how you can do it. But he's saying this, and if we look at the next verse here in verse 14. James points out the problem of our self-attitude. Because we have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring. We have no clue what holds next week. We have no idea what the summer's going to bring. We think we know. We like to plan out. But we don't know. It's because it says that our life is like a vapor. It comes in and blows away. It's like a fog. So you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. And time gets away from us. There's a funny phrase that I heard that says, we go from pimples to wrinkles in a very short time. And by the time our face clears up, then our mind gets fuzzy. Time goes by so fast from us. That's why in James 15, on the verse 15, he tells us, if the Lord's will, we shall do this or do that. But if you read it, look at it, it says, if the Lord wills, we shall live. Who has control of your life? Who has control of the time in your life? If the Lord wills, we shall live. And if we shall live, then, if he wills, we will do this, or we shall do this, or we shall do that. God needs to be part of our everyday decision making, because we do not know what God has in plan for us. You're not the master of your fate. You're not the captain of your soul, though we like to think that. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord will direct his path or his steps. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Or another version that says, many plans are in a man's mind, but it is the Lord's purpose for him that will stand to be carried out. And then a third version that says, a man proposes, but God disposes. This proverb means that man makes plans, but the final outcome is determined by God. So looking back, can you name the one thing in the past 12 months that helped you, or that's helping you, to live a better life today? What did you learn last year from their trials, from your testing, that makes you live a better life today? Looking within, what changes have you made that will reveal your spiritual growth? What changes in your life have you made? Have you determined that you want to read the Word more? You want to be in more Bible studies? You want to pray more? You want to have a closer walk with the Lord? You want to spend more time in prayer? You know, if your whole spiritual growth depends on Sunday mornings when you're coming to church, listening from the sermons at the pulpit here, you're really not growing. Yes, they're very inspiring. Yes, they motivate us. Yes, they encourage us and uplift us. But what about the rest of the week? Do you have time that you can go away and spend time in prayer? When is your time in reading God's word? And I'm not just saying reading the whole chapter and then walking away. You know, Scripture tells us, James also tells us, that we're like, you know, we go in front of a mirror, we look at who we are, we turn around, we walk away, and then we forget who we are. Then we become hearers because we're here at church on Sunday and we listen to the sermons and we go home. Do we follow up? Do we apply what we heard and read in our lives? Do we change? Is that something that we want in our life? God wants us to be doers, not only hearers, and if we know how to do good and do not, then we sin. We sing a very beautiful song in our hymns, hymn 324. Some of you may, you know it off the top of your mind. And I'd like to read the verses on that because it's so applicable. It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my eyes that they may see, but the grace and clarity. Take my ears and let them hear, but thy voice, thy presence near. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift upon the path toward thee. And the rest of the verses are beautiful as well. I know it's easy to fall back. Yes, we want to change. Yes, we want to do good. But without being in prayer, without being in the Word of God, without being in the fellowship of brothers and sisters, it's easy to fall back to what we're used to doing. And we're doing the same thing over and over and over again. So as we start this new year, make sure you include the Lord in all your plans, because he's the one that's going to ultimately make the decision for you. Those of you that have not made that commitment or have not answered the call that time after time has been proclaimed from this pulpit, and not only this pulpit, but at home, maybe in your own time if you're reading the Bible or through conversation. Think about time. How much time do you really have? And how long do you want to wait? Perhaps you're struggling with giving up of yourself and having somebody else take control. Perhaps you're struggling with trusting in someone else, something else, or trusting God. I implore you. I ask you. Think. You don't have the time that you think you have. You don't have the time that you think you have. There's another hymn that we sing, and I'm going to close with the verses from this hymn. It's in the Blue Book, one of the Hymns of Zion, I believe, or the name of it, or that we sing at church. It says, another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness in the shining of thy face. Another year of leaning upon thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet, happy rest. Another year of service, of witness of thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be. On earth or else in heaven, another year for thee. May God bless us.
I appreciated one of the verses that were referenced in Psalm. Psalm 39:4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. This is a beautiful position to be in. As we bring our prayer to the Lord and simply ask him, let me know how frail I am and how much of need I am of thee. Because we often, left to ourselves, we think we can do more than we can. And we fail. And we come up short. And that's common throughout life, through all phases of life. Our strength is limited. Our ability is limited. Our knowledge is limited. But not with God. God can do all things. And so when we go from that self-centeredness to a God-centered life, our life becomes more meaningful. We become more content. We become more at peace. As he dispenses to us grace, as he dispenses to us his strength, as he dispenses to us his knowledge, then we can say, as James says, whatever the Lord will, whether we live or die, we can do this or we can do that. Whatever the Lord's will is. So may the Lord give us grace that throughout our lives, we can always have a God-centered life, praising him and glorifying him, living for him.